Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Today, we are doing a strategizing or an on-air coaching call. I've got three amazing clients that are going to be coming on in just a minute and asking me any questions they have about their business. So welcome. If you're new to me, I'm Stacey Tuschel. I'm the founder of the Foot Traffic Formula. I help small business owners get more customers through the door, whether that's virtual or physical. So we're going to just jump right into this and get started. So I'm going to bring on my first guest today, Tracy. Tracy, I'm going to bring you on. Perfect. Hi, Tracy. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
I'm so excited. So Tracy, I obviously know you. We work together, but really quickly, just share a little bit about what your business is and then ask your question.
Sure. Thanks. So I'm Tracy Beavers and I'm a business and sales coach. I launched my practice officially like a year ago. I help female entrepreneurs in different aspects of their business. The course that I'm creating right now that you've been helping me with is all about confidence, because what I'm hearing from my clients overwhelmingly is they lack confidence with regard to all kinds of things, messaging, scheduling, setting boundaries with clients, organization, their schedule, because as women, we like to do all the things and try to be everything to everybody. So those are the things that I help women entrepreneurs with, business owners, either a solopreneur, brick and mortar, doesn't matter. But I help them navigate and get unstuck so they can move the needle forward on more clients and more revenue.
Amazing. All right. So Tracy, what's your question for me today?
So you and I have been working the last few weeks, and I've been working with Cara. She's my community coach. She's amazing. I'm developing a 6-week course that I want to launch in the spring.
Okay.
And I know we've been talking about pricing a little bit, so I've kind of got that nailed down. Tell me, do you have a preference when it comes to your courses that you have that are evergreen, the ones that live on your Kajabi space? Do you have a sweet spot with regard to video length?
Oh, great question. Okay, great. Yeah. I've been doing video courses now for, almost 5 years.
Right.
And I will say that the ones that are getting, because we track our numbers in Kajabi, who's opening, who's watching, right? The shorter, the better. Okay. So instead of having dripping it once a week, there's an hour long video. It's better to have five minute videos and really specify what it is. Because what happens is you want them to be able to go back and reference whatever they're looking for. And if it's titled nicely, they'll be able to find it.
Okay.
So I would say it's not so much about the get to 5 minutes, get the point across. And when you've kind of wrapped up that topic, I would then pause that video. So I'm not shooting for 5 minutes, but I am trying to get them in between 10 minutes and less.
Okay.
I'd rather have short, sweet, to the point than rambling on and on and on. So if you do have a really big topic, ask yourself, what are the subtopics to break it down even smaller?
Okay. Gotcha. I was thinking at least less than 30 minutes. Cause I don't like to, if I open a video and it's 30, I'm like, I don't have time for that.
Well, and one of the strategies too, is somebody thinks I don't have time for that. Right. But when they see a 6-minute video, they're like, oh, I'll just do one. And then if it's good, you might reel them in to do another and another and another. So I think the bite size is definitely the way to go.
So then maybe what I had intended to do was to do one video, 6 videos, one each week, each one less than 30 minutes. Perhaps what I should do instead is do 2 videos a week and make them each 15 minutes or 10 minutes.
Yeah. Are you doing them live or are these pre-recorded?
They're going to be pre-recorded and live in my, I'm using Funnel Gorgeous.
Okay.
So they're going to live in that space as an evergreen course. And I'll have a workbook with it, very similar to what you offer,
okay.
and a lot of the online courses.
Yeah, so I think then I think you can still drip it once a week like you want to, but okay. Just drip, like if there's five videos or three videos or whatever it is, just drip them all on that Monday or whatever day you want to do. So okay. It gives them an opportunity to binge. Because if you do small videos and you just give them 5 minutes, it's like, I want more, right? Yes. So give me a bunch to binge. So right. I think you're okay still releasing them all at one time, but just break them apart.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have suggestions on workbook content? Because I think your workbooks have been really good, the ones that I've seen so far. I was thinking, obviously, I'm going to give them homework to work on each week. Because mm-hmm. the first week is going to be about mindset and confidence, because your mindset is the basis of your confidence and your confidence is the basis of your success. So it's all going to tie in together. So we're starting at the very beginning with their own self-talk and all of that. Mm-hmm. And in the workbook, I was going to do something about homework, but then also things that they could fill in as they're watching the video.
Yeah. But
are there things that you suggest that you like to have?
So, okay. I like the idea of the fill-in. So I have done the fill-in type stuff when I'm doing something for free and I want them to pay attention. When somebody has paid me, and this is just my personal preference, you don't have to do this, but when somebody has paid me, I feel like they've paid for the answers. They've paid me to fill in those answers for them. Right. So when I do a workbook, I really like to give them everything they need. Even in our $17 5-day bootcamp, we have filled everything in. We want everybody to get that right there. Mm-hmm. But I do think the workbook is a way for them to work through it, right? So when you're training somebody, you might just be cruising through the training, but now the workbook gets to say, okay, let's stop here and pause. What would you do? Or how would, you know what I mean? Like fill in the blank for their answer that you're pulling out of them.
Okay. Got it.
So think about structuring it that way a little bit. Now, just because that's the way I do it does not mean you can't do it that way. Right. Somebody listening might be like, I'm a teacher and I know that if they have to fill in the blank, they're going to retain it more, and you do you, but that's just the reason that I do it.
Okay.
And we're really trying to kind of fast track that video. If they're like just not following along, somebody might not like my teaching style. They might think I speak way too fast. The workbook basically takes all of that content and gives it to them so they can read it at their own pace as well.
Okay. Got it. Got it.
Cool.
And then do you have suggestions with regard to pricing the course? I know we've talked about my pricing regarding my private coaching clients that are local.
Yeah.
But this course is going to be 6 weeks. There's a lot of content that I'm putting into it, a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, most courses I see online are $247 on up. Mm-hmm. And originally I thought I would offer it for, you know, just say regular price is $397, offering it for $297. But now I'm thinking I should do regular price at maybe $497, offering it $397.
Okay. So with pricing, especially with a new product, you mm-hmm. really just don't know until you put it out there,
exactly.
right?
Right.
So I use this example of when I bought a lake house here in Wisconsin that I was going to rent out. I had no idea. It was my first short-term rental property. So what did I do? I went on Airbnb, right? I started looking at like who else has got a house? Mm-hmm. What does mine look like? What is the market, right?
Right.
And where do I need to price myself? Now, I actually priced myself a little bit lower than everybody, not to get the cheap person, right? But because right. I didn't have reviews. I didn't have credibility. There was nothing that was going to say, you should go with Stacy's property, right? Right. If anything, yeah. it was a little riskier. So I had to go a little bit lower to mm-hmm. then get the reviews, to then raise my prices and be at the top. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I wouldn't go too high, too fast if you don't have enough people that know who you are yet or that mm-hmm. credibility. You right. want to be the no-brainer compared to somebody that maybe has a similar, because I am not saying you cannot have an amazing product compared to somebody super well-known.
Right.
They have an advantage if that's the case, mm-hmm. right?
They do. They have the social proof that they I don't do. Have yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So once you start getting reviews or testimonials or write case studies, then you have the credibility to then start okay. to raise that price. So okay. if you know that that product is worth $497 and you want to say it's $497 and slash it and then show the mm-hmm. price currently, that right. could be a great strategy, knowing you are going to take it to $497 at some point.
Yes. That was my plan, was to do something with the slash and then lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that brings up another question. You let me know when we are out of
okay.
time.
Yeah.
That brings up another question, because I am just getting started and I don't have the social proof yet.
Yeah.
What's the best way to start attracting the audience, gaining the emails, You know, do I start with a freebie? Do I start with a $9 thing? I mean,
so, okay, great question. So first of all, freebies in general, I think, first of all, they're not something I would spend a lot of money on Facebook ads with, because it's just really hard to like keep people's attention to get them to convert as well, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of my strategies is going right to a paid offer, whether that's 27 or 17 or something small, $9, my book, right? So we have a lot of small offers because it fuels my Facebook ads so I can keep pouring into them, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, freebies are still great, but it's more for me for organic traffic to say to somebody online, if they're following me already, go grab this, right? Because it's not going to cost me anything for them to get onto my email list. Whereas I might pay $26 or $10 or $5 per email, if I know what I'm doing, right? On Facebook ads and paid traffic.
Okay.
So I do, it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for just organic, free is great. That's a great way to start, but you got to make it better than just a freebie, right?
Yeah.
You have to make it so good that people are like, this is really valuable. And I really do. I can't believe she's giving this for free. Right. Right. And then when you decide, okay, it's time for paid traffic, then I would go to that paid route. But then again, my $17 bootcamp, I think is worth like $100, right? Mm-hmm. So I want it to be something where people are like, wow, I can't believe it's only this, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Does that help?
It does.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. One last question if you have it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm trying to do all the things all at the same time.
Yeah.
So when you first started, because obviously I finally know who my ideal client is. I finally know what I really want to do, focus on.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to be more present on Facebook. I need to do the Instagram. I need to do I need to do LinkedIn? Do I need Pinterest? Do I, you know, and my head is just spinning and I'm seeing all the things you're doing and all the things that some of the other gals are doing. Do I just need to put my blinders on and calm down?
So what I would say is, yes, you need to do all the things when you are ready to do all the things, right? Okay. In the beginning, especially depending on the size of your team, you may only be able to really go all in with Facebook or really go all in with Instagram, right? So I would, and I believe truly that you can make so much money and have a phenomenally successful business with just one of these amazing platforms. Okay.
Okay. Good.
But I also think, yeah, I really do. I mean, I think you could commit to YouTube or Pinterest or Instagram or a Facebook group and just blow it out of the water. Right.
Yeah.
But I also think at some point, that's not a long-term strategy. That's your short-term strategy, because at some point, if something happens to that Facebook group or they close down your YouTube account, we need to be diversified.
Right.
But there's a time you have to master before you diversify, right?
Yeah.
So you can slow down. You can take a deep breath and really just start with one and make that be your baby. And when you're ready to diversify because it's a well-oiled machine and you're bringing people on your team, then great. When you're watching me, I have somebody working 40 hours a week on my social media.
Yeah, I don't have that. When you said team, I'm like, that's me.
Yeah, So if you are the person that's doing your social media, you're never going to be able to compete with somebody like me who's got somebody, and that's just one person. We're bringing somebody on just for LinkedIn ads and somebody for YouTube ads and all of the things. And that's not even my Facebook ads person.
Right.
So you, but just know I'm only 5 years into my online business.
Right.
So you're going to get there too, and you can get there fast.
Okay. Thank you. That's Trixie, super helpful.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much. If somebody wanted to find you online, where could they find you if you want to
share? So I'm just getting started. So my website's not up yet, but they can find me on Facebook. I've got a really good following on Facebook. So I'm Tracy L. Beavers on Facebook. And I'd love to connect with anyone. They can send me a DM.
Perfect. Tracy, thank you so much. This was so fun. I'm so glad we got to do this.
Thank you.
Bye, Tracy. All right, you guys, I'm hoping that as you're listening, even if it's not you in this hot seat, that you are starting to go, okay, this could be my strategy, or oh, I needed to hear this today. That was the whole idea of bringing these back on. So I'm going to bring on Jennifer next, and then we've got Christina after. All right. Jennifer, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Perfect.
All right, so Jennifer, tell us really quickly just what your business is, and then ask me your question.
Awesome. So I am a salon owner and I also have a bridal company, and I teach hairstylists how to start and build a salon business.
Amazing. And you are in like Chicago, Naperville area, right? Yes. Illinois? Cool.
Yes.
All right. So what is your question for me?
So I'm going to start first with my bridal company, because for 2021, that's really going to be my focus as far as really growing and scaling that part of my business. So we've been doing bridal since 2014, and I really want to change some things up. So I do have the salon. And so my question is do you think that I should start to divide the bridal company from the salon business as far as website, Instagram?
Tell me what the bridal company is. What do you offer? What are your products?
So we offer on location bridal services. So hair and makeup. Okay. Right now we currently do not have products, but that is something in the future that I am going to be bringing on.
Okay. So I actually don't think you need to go the route yet of separating the salon with the bridal on site, because I still think it goes very naturally together. It doesn't feel like it's so out of the blue. Like, why would she be doing this with that? I think most salons, people are assuming they probably do stuff for brides, right? So I think you're okay. But if you really want to focus on it, it can't be like the side hustle. It can't be the thing that, how do I say this? Like it, you're like, wait, you do bridal stuff? You don't want people to think that, right? Sometimes as somebody who was originally a dance studio owner and now we have music, people will walk into the building and they will say like, oh, you have music here? That is not good for our marketing if they don't know we do dance and music. So I want to make sure you're thinking about that as well in your marketing. Now, when you get to your website, you could definitely have a main header at the top or a main button that takes them to the bridal, which I think you already do, right? And then having that there, I think you're going to be fine. Now, you can be doing separate landing pages for just bridal for like paid traffic or for organic leads and things like that as well. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So I think that's where I would spend my time. Maybe eventually you'll have to, but right now I don't think it's going to give you enough return for the time and energy it'll take to get everything up and then maintenance of it and all of that. That can be a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
As far as building our bridal program, what builds our salon is getting the reviews, getting referrals and things like that. Do you have any suggestions or ideas around a referral program for brides?
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, when I was getting married, a lot of my friends were getting married too, right? Like we were in that same stage together. So I do think it's a big referral business of like, hey, who did your flowers or where did you get your makeup done? Or right? Like that is definitely something talked about. So I would ask yourself, like, the cool thing is, if they're getting their bridal stuff done with you, they probably live close enough to you to then get their hair done, right? So you could be giving some sort of gift card, not that you're gifting them on their next wedding, but you're gifting them on their next haircut or their next style or whatever that is. So I think to be able to do something like that would be really cool. Or even like, you know, gifting them. I'm just thinking of, you know how like some cake places now they'll like send you, they didn't do this when I was in the day, you saved it, but they will now give you a free 1 year anniversary cake, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine if you gave her a blowout on her 1 year anniversary for date night to celebrate or something, but it gets her back in and it gets her reminding her of how much she loved the salon.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
And that really segues into like my next question is, you know, we're capturing these brides, we're taking care of them for the wedding day, but my ultimate goal is how do we get them in the salon, spending more money and really creating a deeper relationship with them and a better experience overall.
Are you getting a lot of brides to book you for like their baby shower, their bachelorette party, like to come get their hair and makeup done?
Not what I would like.
Okay. So I would maybe, because here's the thing. I would not think, especially back when I got married, I would never have thought to get my hair and makeup done for my bachelorette or my baby shower. But if you educated them on, you're going to have so many photos and this might be in the baby album that like you have, not baby album, this is bridal. I'm so sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like it's going to be part of your wedding album or whatever that is. You are going to want to look your best. And we have a package to do a blowout and your makeup for X amount or something like that.
Yes.
If you educate them on it's even an option, somebody might be like, I'm interested in this. I'd love to get that done. So I think the more you can show them like, what would that special occasion look like? And when would they want to do this? that could be really fun.
Okay, perfect. And that's exactly what we did for this new introduction of our services, like a bachelorette.
Yeah. And if you can get, because if they come for you for bridal, right? And then you show them like the maximize the wedding itself. But then it's like, what else comes after the wedding, right? What else do they need to be doing? Or just a reminder of like, after the wedding is over, sending a congratulations, like a wedding card in the mail, and then giving them something to come back and use it. We hope you enjoyed your experience. You know, congratulations. Here's a gift card on us. And maybe the gift card is just back again to your salon for their first treatment or whatever they're going to get.
Okay, perfect. Any other thoughts as far as like what you've been seeing, what we have been doing, and anything that you think that we should be adjusting or?
No, I think there's just a lot of opportunity and time for you to really maximize these certain areas to definitely increase it. Now, the next question is, we're getting her to spend more money. How do we get her to tell her friends about the incredible experience? So I don't know if you were on the call in Foot Traffic Formula when we were talking to, it might have been her. Somebody in Europe, I believe, where she was she redoes these kitchens and then she hires the chef to come in that first day and they get to invite their friends. Were you ever there for that call? Mm-hmm. It was a really cool conversation. She does these gorgeous kitchens. And then as soon as it's over, she gifts you with a private chef to come to your house. You get to invite like four friends because you're showing off the kitchen. You're gonna see this. And all of a sudden these friends get to experience and it's like this big wow of, I can't believe they just gave you this private chef. But she knows strategically that private chef is going to give a lot more word of mouth for her as well. So the question is, what could you gift to this bride to invite her friends with her to experience it, right? Where she's going to be talking about you, they're going to be experiencing you, because you have not an opportunity, even if she's already gotten married or she's not getting married, you could still be their hair salon. So you have a better chance of like 100% of the people possibly being interested.
Yeah, definitely. We just recently sent out an email to our past brides and offered a $50 in-salon gift certificate as a thank you. And then our brides this year were gifting them a $50 in-salon gift certificate to get them in the door to try out some service.
I love it. Well, and if there's certain services that you know they're going to take you up on, like let's say the highlight, the haircut, the typical, right? But you really want to sell them on something that's not typical that people don't really do. Maybe even gift them a free entire thing of that, that they would never have spent money with you, but now it gets them in the door and possibly gets them upselling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other questions you have for me?
Can we do a hard pivot and go to my online education? Okay. Yeah. So since you know my position of what my launch was last time, it was super overwhelming. Yeah. I got burnt out and I want to not do that again. So one of the things I think that caused that burnt out and overwhelm is that leading up to the launch and then the cart was open, I felt like every day I was like, oh, I got to give them something more. And every day I was like scrambling, trying to create something at the last minute. So this time around, I'll have that all planned out ahead of time. My question for you, which you answered some of them with actually the last call, is how many days should my cart be open?
So honestly, well, what price point are you selling?
Well, I originally wanted to do $497, which it has in the past, but I'm actually going to create a no-brainer offer and slashing that $100 off.
Okay.
So $397, especially because same thing like the your first student, not having the
credibility quite yet, or like
the proof and proof studies.
Yeah. Okay. So I think with that maximum 4 days, I mean, honestly, if you would have said like 2000 or under, I would have said 4 days maximum, because people don't need to scramble to find $400 to put on their credit card, right? If it's a larger offer, they may need more time. Okay. But with something that low, I would have them make a decision fast, because if you give them too long, they're like, oh, maybe I'll come back to that, and maybe never comes back. Right.
Okay.
You want them to just decide, are we buying this or are we not? Okay. So I would say 4-day window maximum. You could even probably go less to 3 if you wanted to.
Okay. That sounds doable. I did like 7 and I was like, I can't do this.
Okay. My first launch I ever did, I opened the cart on a Friday and I closed cart. Okay. Not the following Friday, but the following Sunday. So I had like a full week, 2 weekends, right? 2 weekends too much. And then like the full week, and I was just so wiped. So it's one of those things you have to learn the hard way, unfortunately. But now you know that you'll be doing that.
Okay.
Oh, Isabel is the chef. Yes, yes. Like Isabel, that was clearly a wow for me to remember that story, which is exactly what you want to deliver. I'm excited Isabel's here. Okay.
Awesome.
Sorry, anything else, Jennifer?
Yeah, so if the cart is open for 3 days, do you think each 3 day I should have some type of bonus of like a mini course involved or like a one-on-one coaching? Yeah.
So every day you want to ask yourself, what am I talking about today? Okay. What's the reason to buy today? Leave the reason from yesterday out. If there was a reason to buy on Friday and it's no longer available on Saturday, you don't say things like, even though you missed the amazing Friday bonus, do not bring it up, right? They know they missed it, or put more attention on what it is today. So I like to have like almost like pop-up bonuses that I talk about every day to get them for them to have like think there's a reason to buy now, okay? And they're strategically planned out so that I know what is coming when.
Okay. And then what do you suggest for those who join live, because I want to do a webinar. What do you think is something that is an attractive offer that really gets people to want to be a part of that live?
So this will be different with everybody's industry, right? You have to ask yourself, what does your person really want or need? It has to be one of their biggest pain points, because if it is, they've got to act so fast. You might have 15 minutes for them to hurry and get this thing, right? So it has to be such a no-brainer of, I need this thing. I don't even need to talk to my spouse about it, right? I know I'm going to get it. So what are they looking for? And you might not know the answer yet. You may have to do some work with them to figure out what they're really thinking they need. If you have people you can do market research with to figure out like what that bonus could be, that would be your best case scenario. And if you don't have people to do market research with yet, you're kind of going with an educated guess, and then you're learning from each launch what's happening.
Okay. Yeah. When the launch is over, the 3 days open cart, when that's all done, do you feel like you have to have like some type of reconnection with those who have purchased, such as a Facebook group or one like?
Oh, yeah. Not in the beginning when it's small. Okay. So if you are going to do something and you get 3 people to buy and you've awarded them a private Facebook group with members and there's 3, it's going to be a ghost town, and it's going to actually be a negative in their eyes than anything. So you don't need to do a Facebook group. I wouldn't suggest it until you knew you were going to get a decent sized group, or you said, oh, it's a small group of 20 people and they are well aware there's 20 people coming in, or there's 10 or whatever number that is. Makes sense? Yeah.
Okay. So I don't even need to talk about the Facebook group.
No, and if you wanted to still have a way for them to ask you questions, those could be Google Forms, right, that you're getting the responses. You could be sending out a weekly call every Friday answering the questions. If you don't have any questions that week, you could just like give a few frequently asked questions that you want to provide and give more value to, or what you think they need. But that was probably how I would start if I didn't think I was going to have enough for engagement.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just keep on asking you questions until you say I'm done.
I'll give you one more question and then we'll go to Christina.
How long should my runway be?
You're not going to like my answer. Here's what we've learned. The runway is permanent. It's constant, right? So the only question you would ever ask is, when should my initial runway start to launch for the first time? Because the second you're done launching, you're back in runway for the next launch, right?
Gotcha.
So I think the reason we have been so successful in 2020 is because we have been a machine that has never turned off. Like COVID, nothing has stopped us. We have just kept going. And it was like the momentum we carried, or the people that would say like, I was in it 3 times ago, but now I'm ready. Like they kept repeating it with us. So the first initial like runway, I mean, to even say minimum 30 days, it's like, you better go all in 30 days out, right? But 90 days, right? 60 days, that's all going to be even more helpful because you're seeding it. You could get on the wait list. This is launching, save the date. The next round starts. Like you could be talking about that over and over and over to get them to get ready. Cause some people you're going to catch off guard, right? Now, if you're only selling something for $400, I think you could do a really great 30-day plan, go all in, give amazing content, go into a launch and sell because it's a pretty low price point still. If you were going to sell something for $5,000 or $3,000 or a little bit more, it would just have to be really well, especially with no testimonials yet. You just have to do it really, really well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. I know we'll keep chatting in foot traffic. Love having you in here. Thank you for the great questions.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, Christina, coming to you. And Christina is our last one today. Hi, Christina.
Hey, Stacey.
I know it's like, which direction? Okay, Christina, tell everybody what your business is and then ask me your question.
Sure. So I am the owner of Showcase the World Travel, and we are a modern travel agency, and I'm dedicated to helping busy moms take the family vacation that they need without planning it all to their to-do lists.
Amazing. All right. So Christina, what is your question for me today?
Sure. So I want to start with one thing that's been coming up a lot as I'm marketing is I didn't know that travel agents still existed. So how do I kind of educate the market that not only do travel agents still exist, they've taken on a different role than they have in the past, and that we're here.
Yeah. Because I could see that being a thing that somebody's like, travel agent, you use a travel agent? Like it does kind of seem like 1999 or something, right? So that's exactly though it, you just said it. You're going to have to educate that yes, they're here, but they're way different in 2021 than they've ever been. And I would actually spin it of with COVID, they're way more needed. The amount of research, the amount of work, the amount of things that you don't even know exist. Like traveling in 2021 is a new game, right? Let me help you navigate it. Let me help you really, if you talked about pre-COVID, just planning a vacation, it was stressful enough. Now you have to know like what's even open. Are the restaurants open? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? Like what are we going to experience when we're there? So I think that should be your messaging of like, you know, like it's almost like the travel agent is making a comeback in 2021 because of the crazy restrictions that you're going to have to know about when making and planning that next trip. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Something that's happened over the past few years is the transition from travel agent to travel advisor.
Okay.
And there's definitely like a big industry conversation about people don't know what a travel advisor is. So do you use that term that we are more now, or do we stick to the travel agent that people know and are comfortable with, even though the role has changed?
Okay. So I think that's a great question because you're right. Sometimes we want to be trendy, or really the word just has changed, but people don't know what that is. So it might not even, they might think of that and they're like, oh, like thinking it's for like something commercial or something for business or who knows. Right. So I probably would go with the well-known name. Right. For me, even like I teach funnels and sales funnels, and I don't lead with that a lot because not everybody knows they need it. So I say more things like driving traffic, generating leads. Once they're in, it's like, here's what you really need to have. Right. So I think for you, I would probably say lead with agent. And then you could say, you know, when you're writing up your landing page somewhere, you could say like, hi, I'm Christina and I'm a travel advisor. No, I did not say agent. I said advisor. Let me tell you what that is, right?
And
how it's different. Yeah. And then educate them there.
Okay. Awesome.
That makes sense.
Another big industry conversation that has been happening more so within the last 9 months is to fee or not to fee. And I've definitely decided, I know we talked about it briefly that I was thinking about it, but I've definitely decided that I'm going to start charging fees.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that I have different options available, but I don't want it to be confusing. And I don't want it to be, I know you talk a lot about they see the one that they really, really want, and then they don't end up buying anything. So I want to make sure that I'm pricing things that it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That compensates me for my time, seeing I've, you know, worked really hard the last 9 months to not make a penny.
Right.
And am compensated for quoting and cancellations and things that I wouldn't get paid commission on if they don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. So I do think you could have a couple different packages, right? Even like picking the locations, like where are we going? What should we be doing? What should we be considering, right? There could be like a pre-stage, and then it's like somebody who's come to you that already has it booked, right? So I'm going to Myrtle Beach, but I haven't done any planning. Could you basically plan my 7-day trip, right? And then maybe there's something like that that you could be including too. And it would be like really educating them on, you might have grown up like winging it on these vacations, or mom doing all this crazy research, but maybe she was a stay-at-home mom. Like these days, a lot of us, we're working. We don't have time to be planning this as well, right? So I think you could be kind of gearing it towards that person who would love to say, I'm taking a trip, I need a break. Give us the most amazing experience in DC, or give us the most amazing experience at Disney. What would that look like?
So what I've kind of outlined is 4 different offers.
Okay.
2 are Disney focused and 2 are not Disney focused. Okay. So that kind of helps you decide. Yep. So I have kind of like a Disney DIY where I will send you recommendations. I will do your quoting for you. Okay. If you book it with me. But you're not going to get your dining reservations made for you. You're not going to get your fast pass reservations made for you. You have the recommendations, but you don't have my time.
Yeah. It's more like DIY, a course on how to navigate this.
Exactly. And then doing a full service package where you're getting everything done. I'm checking daily if you don't get the reservations you want. And
And even just saying to them, like, this is what it includes, and I will be checking daily. And then somebody's like, oh, you'd have to check daily. Like, I don't have time to do that. Could you just do that for me? Thank you. Right. If you show them that, I think you will get they're very different people. Somebody's just like, no, we're going to save as much money as possible. So think about that. This is a cheaper package. The one over here, full service, they're like, please take care of it for me. I don't want any problems. Like, get this done. Right. They will spend more. You got very different people. So I think it's good to have 2 different packages.
So I'm looking at 27 and 97 for that.
So $27 for the DIY, it's a scalable course. They get it once, they've got it. 20, and then 97 is custom. You're doing work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 27 for a little course like that, no brainer, right? And then, but it's your time one time, you're saying. You're not going to have to do something for them every time, or you are?
I would have to do something for them every time, but it would only take me, based on their profile, 15 minutes.
Okay. Okay. And you could eventually have somebody on your team be figuring that out so that they could be doing it too.
And I would still be getting commission on their booking.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. It's not just $27. Right. Perfect. And there's an opportunity for upsells once they get in. So I'd be okay with that. Otherwise, I feel like it wouldn't maybe be worth your time to scale that, because it could be a ton. But if you're saying it's fast, you're going to do the work once, have it all ready to go, I think you're okay. Okay. And then 97, be very conscious of how much it takes of your time, right? The second it's just like, this is way too much work. This is not worth $100, right? Then it might not make sense. Now, if the $100 person is also getting you commissions and it's adding up, then it may make sense to add that on, right? Because now it's not just $100.
Yeah. So introducing it at the 97 and kind of seeing how it goes, what I'm getting in terms of bookings. So that's something we've talked about, that my booking numbers have changed. People aren't spending $10,000 on vacations anymore. So making
different time, right? We have to like just go with it. So no, I think that's a great place to start, and then just see what happens and see what you enjoy and what seems more scalable and more doable. You might find that the $27 offer is so easy and it's so scalable and everybody's saying yes to it that you're selling it like crazy, and you don't even want the $97 offer because you're like, nope, I don't check reservations for anybody anymore. Here's what you need to do to do it, right? Okay. You'll find out as you go.
And then the flip side of that is other destinations. So if you're booking a travel package, which would be a cruise, a guided tour, an all-inclusive, just something that's super easy for me, I quote it, it's done. I'm looking at 47 because it does take way more work that for me than Disney.
Okay. So you're saying if I said to you, hey, I want to go on a cruise, and you came to me and just said, here are your options, here's what I'm thinking, and you were doing it that way, it would be $47 for me to get you to do all the research and figure it out?
Yes. And then give you tips and tricks along the way.
Oh, okay, cool.
Once you're booked.
Yeah. I mean, again, you're talking to somebody who doesn't have time, who would say to themselves, and I've done this before where I was like, I can do this. And I spent 20 minutes and I was so confused and didn't know where I should be going, what I should be doing, that if you would have said, listen, I'll do this for you, just pay me $50. I would have been like, what's your PayPal? Like, send me the link, right? So you're talking to a specific person. Do not forget that, right? Yeah. You're not talking to the stay-at-home mom who is like excited to look at this all day long, right? So like think about that. Yeah, right. We're not talking to you. You're not the ideal person here. This person is like, I have other things to do. Like, this is not my zone of genius, right? Yeah. So you really have to get, usually people teach people who are just like them. You're not that girl. You're teaching somebody who's very different than you. So you're going to need as much market research as possible.
The people who don't pack 3 weeks in advance so that they can color coordinate.
Totally. Yeah. No, you're like the night before type of person who's freaking out that they don't even know what they should bring, right? Yes. So yeah, really think about that as you're starting to build this.
Awesome.
Cool.
So switching gears a little bit. So I've been spending the last months of travel, of non-travel, really focusing on marketing and growing my email list. Mm-hmm. I have my offers running and I really want to start, now that people are starting to think about traveling again, doing a retargeting campaign.
Okay.
So I know that I need to start with market research with the people who have opted in but haven't bought anything. And I just, what's kind of your strategy around starting that?
Okay. So if you've already, you're talking retargeting. So they've already seen you, they know who you are. Now it's like bringing something back to them. Yeah. So the good news is you don't need to come up with a million different ideas to retarget. It's really like, what is the messaging we have to say? So even bringing up the kind of like that conversation of like why you don't want to travel in 2021 without a travel agent, right? Why you need somebody, like it could be educational stuff like that. It could be like what you want to find is, and I'm hoping they're out there for you, is articles on travel numbers starting to go up, people getting more comfortable, showing pictures. I saw a picture of Clearwater Beach 2 weeks ago, and I was like, holy cow, it looks like everybody's there, right? The more you can show people, oh, people are traveling. It is normal. Look at this airplane. It's totally full, right? The more you can put that back in people's minds, the more people are going to be like, okay, people are doing this. I can do this too, right? Again, you're talking to a very specific person who's okay with getting on an airplane or driving however far. But there are people out there after I saw the Clearwater Beach photo. So I think you're fine. It's just finding those people and talking to them about like, let's get the trip on the books, right? People are back. Airplanes have literally said, they used to have like the middle seat gone. Middle seats are back open. Like they're full enough to get an entire full airplane to go, right? So these are things I'd be educating people on.
And that's something that I have to kind of shift my mindset on, because I'm in the Northeast where we're all still locked down and I'm not just serving the Northeast.
So. Yes. So just so you understand, for everybody listening, right? You are in a place that is so shut down, just like California, where it feels like the world is just crazy. Right now, my kids have been in school since August, every day, full school, Monday through Friday, no virtual. They had it 2 weeks, right? We're totally normal. My studio's totally open. We're going to dance every night. Like they're going to gymnastics this weekend. Like in my world, things, not that they're back to normal, but we're doing things, right? So for me, we're actually taking a vacation in February. We are getting on an airplane. We are going someplace. Like we feel comfortable to do that. So my point is, your person in Northeast, right, may not feel comfortable. California may not. Maybe they are, right? Maybe they want to get out. Who knows? But there are definitely people who are normal. If I can go to school, why can't I go to, you know, other places too. So it's different in certain areas, but there's also different comfort levels. Not everybody in my area is doing the things that I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. Where can people find you if they want a travel advisor? Where would they go?
Showcasetheworld.com.
Amazing. All right, Christina, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm going to be bringing you more of these. My goal is once a week is we're going to be bringing more and more of our clients on, giving them some coaching, but I know you guys got so much out of this as well. So thanks for listening, and I will see you guys next time. Bye, everyone. Hey, before you go, have you considered joining us in our next 30-day bootcamp? If you are loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, then you will love the Beginner Bootcamp, where we help you build your first marketing funnel in just 30 days, and it's only $97. Hurry and register at stacytushel.com/bootcamp to sign up for our next live bootcamp starting on the 1st.